Welcome to Tardi Mecha, Nach Yomi, with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we will be studying Yechezkel, Perek Chav Zayin, Chapter 27. The last perek was the first in a series of three, foretelling the downfall of Tzor, Israel's former ally and friend. Because of their callous disregard for the destruction of Israel, and even rejoicing at what they thought was their good fortune because of it, and finally, even getting involved in persecuting the Jews as they ran for their lives, Yechezkel assures Bnei Yisrael that Tzor will eventually be punished for their misdeeds. This perek continues that prophecy. Right in the beginning of the perek, it becomes clear that this perek is meant as a kina, a kind of poetic dirge about Tzor. Va'ata ben Adam sa'al Tzor kina. God asks Yechezkel to offer a lament about Tzor. A kina is almost like a eulogy, something said about an event that has already transpired. And perhaps that is the flavor that is meant to be conveyed here. The theme is the finality of the downfall of Tzor. This kina may perhaps have offered a measure of comfort to Israel in these dark times. Israel may have been betrayed by Tzor, this city that expressed happiness at their downfall. But in the end, they would end up experiencing the very fate that they delighted to watch Israel experience. In Pasuk Gimel, God says, Va'amarta l'tzor, hayoshevet al mava'o yam, ko amar Hashem Elokim, Tzor, at amart ani klilat yofi. Say to Tzor, she who sits on the corridors of the sea, this is what Hashem says, Tzor, you described yourself as so beautiful. In that Pasuk, God asks Yechezkel to address the nation of Tzor, a nation who considered herself beautiful, Klila Yofi. And Rashi points out that in Eicha, Yerushalayim is identified as a city which is Klila Yofi. There it says, Sefku alayath kapayim kol rei derech, sharku liyanu rosham al bat Yerushalayim. Hazot ha'ir sheyomru Klila Yofi mesos kol haaretz. Passerbys clapped their hands in distress. They whistled and shook their heads over you, Yerushalayim. Is this the city that they called Klilat Yofi, the height of beauty, source of rejoicing for the entire land? It's almost as though Tzor was looking to usurp Israel's title as Klilat Yofi, now that Yerushalayim was destroyed. Belev yamim gvulayich, bonayich kalalu yofyeich. Your city, Tzor, was securely situated, surrounded by water. Her builders finished her construction beautifully. The metaphors that Yechezkel reaches for here in describing the beauty of Tzor are maritime ones. He is describing the building of a ship, a fitting metaphor for this coastal city. But as we read the next psukim, describing the construction of the ship, the body of this kina, the whole thing begins to sound like a bunch of trivia, a list of facts about the great ship of Tzor and her wealth. Here's some of the psukim. Proshim misnir banulach et kol achotayim. From cypress trees, from snir, they made your planks. Erez milvanon lakachu lasot toren alayach. A cedar from Lebanon they took for the mast. Aloni mi bashan asu mishotayach. From oaks in the Bashan they made your oars. Korshecha sushen bat ashirim meiye kitiim. Your deck was made from boxwood from the islands of Kitiim, studded with ivory. Your sails were made from embroidered Egyptian linen. And your covers were made from blue and purple wool from the islands of Elisha. Parenthetically, many of these imported supplies from cedar trees to ivory to the fabrics of Sheish, Tchelet, and Argaman correspond to the supplies used in the Mikdash. Continuing the psukim, they go on to describe the sailors of the ship, detailing the various participating nations who joined Tzor at the helm. Siknei kaval v'chachameha hayubach, machazikei bitkech, kol oniyot hayam umalacheihem hayubach, la'arov ma'aravech. The elders and wise men of kaval were with you and took care of your upkeep. All the ships of the sea and their sailors were with you to buy your wares. And then we get a description of armies from various nations who were stationed in Tzor, adding not only to her military prowess, but to the beauty of Tzor, again referred to here as Kalalu Yofyech. Paras velud ufut hayu bechelech, anshei milchamtech, magen v'chova talubach, hema natnu hadarach. Paras, Lud, and Fut were among your army, those who fought your wars. They hung shields and helmets within you, giving you grandeur. The people are Arvad, and Chelech stood on your walls, and men of Gamad were stationed in your towers. They hung their quivers on your walls, making you beautiful. In the next group of psukim, Yechezkel details the various products that the countries export to Tzor, showing the extravagance and wealth of the city. This section's focus is on the commerce of the city, as evidenced by the repeated use of the words rachal and sachar, merchants and business. Malbim develops a multi-step process based on the language. Importers would drop off at a warehouse, wholesalers would come buy from the warehouse, retails would buy from the wholesalers. Tarshish Zalchartech, Merov Kolhon, Bechesef Barzel, Bedil Veoferet, Netnu is Azvonayach. Tarshish traded with you due to your wealth. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead. Yavan Tuval Vameshech, Hema Rochalayach, Benefesh Adam, Uchle Nechoshet, Netnu Ma'araveth. Yavan Tuval and Meshech, they were your merchants. They brought people and copper utensils. And it continues. Mibet Tugarma, Susim Ufarashim Ufradim Natnu Izvonayach. Horses, horsemen, and mules came from Beit Tugarma. Bnei Dedan Rochlayach, Iim Rabim Schora Yadech Karnot Shein, Heshivu Eshkarech. The people of Dedan, they were your merchants with many islands. They brought ivory and habanim, which is ebony perhaps, but Tzion considers it a feather. And the list continues. Aram Sochartech Miro Maasayich Benofech Ergaman Verikma Uvutz Ramot V'Charkod Natnu Be'izvonayich. Aram traded with you because of your production, bringing turquoise, purple stuff, embroidery, fine linen, coral, and agate. Yehuda V'Eretz Yisrael Hema Rochlayich B'chitemi Nit Ufandag Udvash V'Shemen V'Tzori Natnu Ma'araveich. Yehuda and Eretz Yisrael, they were your merchants. They brought wheat from Minis and Panag, honey, oil, and balsam sap, which is also, by the way, used in the Ketoret and the Beit HaMikdash. Continuing, Damesek Sochartech Berov Maasayach Merov Kolhon B'Yayin Chalbon V'Tzemer Tzachar. Damascus, they brought wines from Chalbon and white wool. We're not done. Continuing, V'Dan V'Yavan Me'uzal B'Izvonayach Natanu Barzel Asot Kida V'Kane B'Maraveh Chaya. Dan and Yavan from Uzal brought shining, polished iron and types of perfume. Dedan Rechalteh Bevidei Choshech L'Rechba. Dedan brought special clothing for riding. Arab V'Chol Nesiei Kedar Hema Socharei Yadech B'Charim Ve'Elim Ve'Atudim Bam Socharayach. Arabia and the princes of Kedar, they brought lambs, rams, and goats. Rechlei Sheva Verama, Hema Rochlayach, Barosh Kolbosem, Uvachol Evan Yakara, Vizahav Nashnu Yizvonayach. Sheba and Rama brought perfumes and precious gems and gold. Charan Vachana, Vaeden Rochlei Sheva, Ashur, Kilmad Rochalteach. Charan and Chana and Eden, merchants of Sheba and Ashur, they brought Hema Rochlayach B'machlulim, Biglumei Tuchelet, Berikma, Uvikinzei, Berumim, Bechavalim, Chavushim, Ve'aruzim, Bemarchotech. All types of beautiful things, embroidered blue cloaks, colorful carpets, necklaces, on strings. The detail in which Yechezkel describes the beauty of this ship is in some ways reminiscent of the detail in which he described the Merkava earlier in the Sefer. He's giving us a first-hand account describing the many details as he sees them, almost as though in real life, he himself is putting the picture together, giving over the flavor of his vision to the nation, the bystanders. These details that the Navi describes point to Tzor's stature among the nations, how far and wide the trade and economic might of this nation was able to reach. She had the ability to import the best products from faraway nations. Her imports and exports, the breadth of the economy of Tzor, was incredible. But why, we might wonder, are we hearing about these descriptions of wealth here? Although it is interesting, and maybe it's worth noting. Yechezkel described this prophecy as a kina, as a lament. In what sense is the description of Tzor's economic activity Akina. Let's hold that thought as we continue learning about the downfall of Tzor in the ensuing Pesukim, beginning in Pasuk Chav Hei. V'timali v'tich b'dima'od, believe yamim. The ship, whether literal or figurative, according to Matzoros David, is overloaded with merchandise on a trip out to sea. B'yamim rabim hevi'uch, hashatim otach, ruach hakadim shvarech, believe yamim. She is shattered by a ruach kadim, an easterly wind, in the middle of the water, believe yamim. Honech v'isvonayach, maraveich, malachayach, v'chovlayach, machazikik bitchakech, v'orvei maraveich, v'chol anshei mechamtech, asher bach, u'v'chol kalech, asher betochech, yiplu b'lev yamim, b'yom ha'mapalatech. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and pilots, the repairmen and buyers, and all of your soldiers, all the people who are with you, will fall into the depths of the sea on the day of your upheaval. The fall of Tzor will be so all-encompassing, Yechezkel tells us, that everyone and everything will be swallowed by the sea. Her fall will affect every member of the team. Every person will die in the depth of the sea on the day of her great fall, at the time of her demise. Continuing in Pasuk Lamed, V'hi shmil alayich b'chol kolam, v'yizaku mara, v'yalu afar al roshehem, afar it palashu. Everyone who hears will scream out bitterly, putting dust on their heads and rolling in the ashes. V'hikrichu elayach korcha, v'chagru sakim, uvachu elayach b'mar nefesh, mispeid mar. They will tear out their hair, donning sackcloth, and they will cry bitterly when they mourn you. And in Pasuk Lamed Bet, the word kina, lament, appears again. V'nas'u elayach b'nehem kina, v'konenu elayach, mi chatzor, Kiduma b'tol chayam. They will lament you, saying, how could an important city like Tzor be cut off and destroyed in the midst of the sea? Kol oyvei ha'iyim, shememu alayich, umalchehem saru sar, ra'amu panim. The adjacent islands will be confused, aghast at your downfall, contorting their faces. This last pasuk parallels the last pasuk of the last parak. There Hashem says that he would make Tzor a confused nation that is no longer. Balahot etnech ve'inech utuvukshi ve'lotimatzi od le'olam. And this parak, using that same word balahot, ends with the kings of the world describing exactly that outcome. Socharim ba'amim sharku alayich balahot hayit ve'inech ad olam. The merchants among the nations will shriek at your demise, at the fact that you have been entirely obliterated. The end of the parak, once we get past all those details of the ship, finally feels like a kina, a lament about Tzor. As we read an in-depth description of Tzor's fall and the reaction of her surrounding neighbors. But still, why go through so much detail before getting to the meat of things? Why did we read so much about these complex details which seem unnecessary? Perhaps those details are not as superfluous as they seem. In essence, they may well be part of the kina itself. The great, laborious detail with which Yechezkel describes Tzor can also be viewed as part of the kina. Understanding how high she climbed concretizes just how low she fell. All these details might just be Yechezkel's way of underscoring how great the eventual downfall of Tzor really would be. There seems to be yet another underlying message spelled out on our psukim. Remember what it was in this parak that broke the ship, according to Yechezkel? It was a ruach kadim, an easterly wind. Ruach kadim is not exactly a common expression of the Torah, though it shows up a few times. Maybe if we look at a few other times this expression is used, it'll help us understand the kina of Tzor a little better. We have seen this phrase, ruach kadim, in Mitzrayim, in Makat Arbe. We have seen it at the crossing of the Yamsuf. Both times, a ruach kadim, an easterly wind, brought the destruction to the enemies of Israel. We also saw it in Sefer Yonah, when God brings a ruach kadim to destroy the gourd that he had created to teach Yonah a lesson. And we've also seen it earlier in this particular Sefer, in association with the unfaithful grapevine in Perek Yud-Zayin. Perhaps here, like in these other examples, these words, ruach kadim, convey an action that is clearly orchestrated by God. It's not just an accident or a coincidence. Hashem intervened to bring you down. And that message is a message of comfort to the nation, a nation that has just been exiled and seen their home in Mikdash undergo destruction. To them, God says, no matter how high Tzor climbs, you can still trust me. It will be me who will bring her down. There is fairness, there is justice in my master plan. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Center.